Okay, so today's talk is given by Dr. Juan Lopez Sanchez from the University of Alicante. Juan is going to talk on agricultural monitoring using time series of satellite radar polarimetric images. Juan's an associate professor in signal theory and communications at Alicante and has been a visiting researcher here over the past year. He works on a variety of problems in the radar field and completed his PhD on the estimation of biophysical parameters, again using radar polarimetry. To Juan.
Okay, thank you. So, welcome everyone. So, as Owen has said, I've been here since January. In fact, I'm leaving Edinburgh next week, so it's my last presence here at the university. And I would like to recognize now to thank Ian Buchhaus and his group for hosting me for this during this period. I have had a great time here. I think that I have also had a good experience from the personal point of view and also from the technical or the academic point of view. And what I'm going to present here is part of the work that I have developed here. It's mostly concentrated on one of the applications of remote sensing, which is agriculture, and with one of the techniques, which is radar. So I'm going to make, firstly, I'm going to make a short review of what is radar. Then I will speak a bit about why can radar be is going to be helpful, or we can think that it is helpful for agriculture. Then I will show you the experiment that I have been doing this year on rice. Of course, this rice is not from Scotland, it's from Spain, our data that we have there. And then, of course, some conclusions and open issues. So, to begin with, what is a radar? So, what we want always in remote sensing is to have information about the scene that we are observing. In this case, we are using a satellite that is equipped with a radar, with an antenna, and with a system to transmit electromagnetic pulses. And what is doing the radar is to transmit these pulses. And two important features of this radar, of this system, is that it is an active system. It's using its own source of energy, its own source of power. It's not depending on the sun, it's not depending on other sources. And it is using microwaves, so the wavelength and the frequency is completely different from optical systems or a LiDAR. And what we are going to see is how is the energy that is backscattered again to the satellite. So we are going to measure something that is related to the signal that we send to the scene, and it's also related with the scene, with the characteristics of the scene. So which are the advantages of a radar system? They are well known. One of the things that is, since it is an active system, we have an independence from the night and day conditions. We can operate 24 hours a day. We can operate them even in the presence of clouds. So it's also one of the important things for these applications. We have a coherent illumination and reception of the signal. It is used to gain a very high resolution, a very high spatial resolution. And we are going to see afterwards that it's also useful to exploit all the physical properties of the electromagnetic waves, in this case the vector properties of the electromagnetic waves. And of course, since we are using this frequency, these microwaves, we can penetrate in the scene, we can interact with the vegetation, with the soil, so we are going to have a response not only from the top layer, but we can have a response, a radar signal, which depends on all the parameters that are there in our scene. So the most important parameters of a radar system are the frequency. Depending on the frequency, you are going to get more or less interaction with different elements. You are going to get more or less penetration in the vegetation or in the soil. It is also very important the incidence angle, because since we are looking at this geometry, we are going to see different things depending on the incidence angle. It's also important to have a good spatial resolution. It is also important to have a wide coverage, a wide swath of our image. For some applications, it can be also important to have a short visit time, the time where we are passing again by the same place to have a new image. The polarization of the signal is one of the things that we are going to exploit here. And of course, there are satellites which are fixed, that they have only one mode, and there are others that have many modes, so you can more or less adapt to what you want or what you are expecting to measure in your case, in your application. Here we can see four examples of satellites, of current satellites. The first one is Envisat. It's a satellite that is about to finish its operation in a couple of years. It's an old satellite from ESA. It was launched in 2002. Here you can see the frequencies, the revisit time, all these things. The important thing from our point of view is the polarization that you can get from this satellite. In this case, you can get dual pole. This means two channels, two polarization channels. Afterwards, I will explain that. But they are always measured incoherently. You measure one and then the other. And then we have three new satellites, this Alos Palsar, Radarsat 2, and Terrasat-X. These three are operating in different frequencies. But the good thing of them is that they all provide some polarimetric information measured coherently. So we can exploit more this vector nature of the electromagnetic waves. And since they were launched three or four years ago, is the time now to look at the data, to look at the time series that we have now available to see over different scenarios. And here I'm going to be concentrated on the agricultural scenarios. I'm going to work mostly with Terrasat-X data in this presentation, and also with Radarsat 2. I will explain afterwards more or less how they work. So this is regarding the satellite systems that we can use. Regarding the applications of agriculture, we have identified more or less two types of end users of these applications of remote sensing for agriculture. One of the types is mostly the government or the government agencies, authorities, and they are interested more or less in these three main topics. They are interested in crop mapping, knowing what is cultivated in every place that they are managing. They are interested also in the consumption of water, especially if there is a place where there are only a few resources available for water, and they are also interested in yield predictions in order to have more information to control the market or some price regulations and so on. And the other type of end users are the farmers that are in the fields, especially if they have extensive fields, because otherwise they are there, they look at their fields, and they don't need any other information, any other source. And these farmers, what they usually request is some timely information about the condition of the crops, if they are doing well, if they are not doing well, if they have reached some particular, some specific moments in the cultivation just to stop fertilizing or to put more seeds on the ground, all these things, or to detect diseases, all these things. They are also interested in the requirements of water. What they would like to know is where and when they have to irrigate. This is mostly the question they have. And of course, they are also interested in increasing the final productivity. So here in my speech today, I'm going to be concentrated on this application, trying to know at every moment what is the condition of the fields, in which part of the cycle are the plants that we have on the field. This is the main focus of my work, of the work that I have done here. So some of the parameters that are commonly used for explaining all these things are these parameters. You can find some information about the crop biomass, the leaf area index, which is mostly related with optical systems, the water content, the coverage of the crop, the phenological stage. This is the point that I'm going to try to address here, the phenological stage, in any of the scales that are used by the farmers. And you can be also interested in the vegetation height, because it's also related with the phenological stage, or the soil moisture, which is a prime parameter for other things too. So these are more or less the physical parameters that they are always managing when working with this topic of agriculture. So why using a radar for agriculture applications? So one of the things is that we are going to have, if we use one of these systems, we are going to have a very fine spatial resolution. We are talking about 5 times 5 meters or 10 times 10. So we have a very localized information of what's going on at each part of the field. We can have very short revisit time. We are talking in the case of TerraSRX with the same mode, we have 11 days. So it's, maybe it's too much for some applications, maybe it's fine for others. But of course, we can always try to combine different modes. And in this case, if we combine different modes and orbits, we can even make shorter revisit times. And the most important part of why we are using this is because it is sensitive to the structure of the plants. So provided that we have plants that are changing in structure, in morphology, in their shape, in their architecture, during the cultivation cycle, we are going to have a distinct, different response at every moment of this cycle. So this is the idea of using that. For using that, we have to exploit the vector and nature of the waves, and it can be done very easily, or it can be done properly by using what is called radar polar image. In this case, we are going to measure all the information related with the polarization of the waves. In this case, we are going to transmit one wave with one polarization. We are going to receive the wave at two orthogonal polarizations. So at the end, what we finish is with a matrix of numbers, and these numbers are relating, of course, are relating these waves that we are transmitting and we are receiving. In the best scenario, we are going to have a full matrix of all the combinations between transmitted and received polarizations, and in other cases we are going to have only one part of this full matrix. So this radar polarimetry is nothing but all the algebra or the models for extracting physical information from these matrices that we are mentioning. So at the end, what I'm saying is that we are going to have, for every pixel in our image, we're going to have a matrix with all this information. So how to know what is there in this pixel is by using this information that we have in this matrix. I can also refer you to this book that is published last year by St. Cloud. He's also here, so if you want to ask him afterwards something, you can also do it. I don't know if you are prepared for this question. But anyway. So, I mean, here we can take a look at all these techniques that are for studying information from the matrices. So what I'm going to show you now is my last experiment, the last thing that we have been doing with rice fields in Spain. So first I'm going to show you why it is important for us, or what is important this application for us. Then I will describe the experiment, the results, and then of course the results of the retrieval of the phenology using our data. So the first question is why rice, why using rice? There are a couple of obvious answers. One of them is, of course, it's one of the most important crops in the world. It's, in all the parts in Asia and South Asia, is the main food crop, so it's important from the social and economic point of view. It is also important for the global environment, because it's an important source of methane. This gas is produced by the cultivation of rice, because of the way it is produced. it's also one of the important sources for this gas, and it's the second gas, the second more important gas for the greenhouse effect, which is one of the important things too. I must say that it's also very easy, and we are going to see that. It's one of the easiest crops to be followed with a radar, because it's going to have very distinct, very clear responses, very clear signatures at every one of the phenological stages. So in this case, I can say that it's easy to do. It is easier to do that with rice than with other crops. And it is mainly due to the condition of the fields. And the fields, as you know, as you may know, they are always flooded with water underneath. So it is very clear how it is afterwards, how it is seen in an image. First, and we will go to that later. Of course, it is also important because we have ground measurements, so we can do the experiments. And you know, I'm from Spain, so the other question that some colleagues always ask me is, how can we improve paellas from Spain? From Spain is one of the questions that are always afterward, after that. No? So, what do the farmers need? What do they ask for? From our knowledge, what they are asking for is some information about particular phenological stages, particular moments in the development of the plants. So in this case, they were interested in one moment when all the plants are out from the water. They started to be in water, and then they go out from the water. At the moment, they want to go there and count the number of plants per square meter. And if the number is too low, they are going to put more seeds. This is one of the questions that they do always. And it's called the effective germination measurements. So it is important to know when are the plants out. They also want to know when the panicle, which is one of the parts of the plant, is out, because at that moment, if it is out for the full field that they are managing, they should stop putting more fertilizers, because otherwise they are going to be produce more problems than advantages, because it is very probable that they will have some problem with pests, with plagues. So in this case, they are also interested in stopping fertilizing. And of course, they also want to know if they have any problem with the cultivation. And they have found some problems in the fields we are working on in Spain with salinity in the water, and it makes that the crops are not going well. So that's why they're interested in these areas. So again, what we are going to focus now is in try to retrieve, to extract, to estimate the phenology of the plants that we have in the scene by using only one scene. Using only one image that we can acquire at a certain time over these fields. So the area we are studying is in the southwest of Spain. It's close to the sea, close to the Atlantic Ocean. It's in the province of Sevilla, and it's here, and you can see here more or less the extension of the rice fields. In this part is about the test site is about 30 kilometers. And here you can see in black with these yellow polygons the normal cultivation fields that they have on 1 year. So we have made some campaigns, one in 2008 and also one in 2009. We have ground truth data, ground measurement data of 5 parcels. We have from 8 parcels, but some of them are out of our images, so we are going to use only 5 here. They are provided by the local association of farmers, and what they made for this experiment is to measure or to say what is the phenological stage of the plants every week. This is called, or we are using one possible scale, which is called BBCH. The scale goes from 0 to 100, and it means, every number means the particular condition of the crops between the sowing and the harvest. So we have 100 numbers of this condition of the plants. They were also measuring the vegetation height, and they also provided information about the date of sowing, the date of harvest, the plantation density of each field, and the final yield, the final productivity. this scale, even if they have 100 numbers from the beginning to the end, we can divide it in three main stages from the biological point of view. The first stage is called the vegetative phase. It's more or less the first half of this, the first half of this scale, and it's mostly characterized by the appearance and the elongation, the growth of all the elements in the plants. I mean, they start from anything, from the seed, to at the end to have a full plant with all the elements, all the leaves, all the stelaes, all the stems. Then we have the reproductive phase, and in this case what we have is the emergence of the panicle and the flowers that are on the top of these rice plants. And then the last part is when the grains are out, and they have to wait until the grains have the right humidity, the right moisture to collect the rice. So it's the last part of the of the rice cultivation. So what is what we are going to see with the radar when we have this development of the plants? So we are, I'm going to explain now. In the vegetative phase, what is expected is more or less the growth in the whole vegetative phase in this first half of the cultivation cycle. We are starting from anything to the full plant. So at the beginning, what we are expecting is to have a very low response because we only have water there, so we are going to launch our signals, our radar pulses, and they are going to be reflected by the water in other direction, but not again, but not back to the radar. If we have any signal, it is because maybe, and it's very common also in this case and in many places, is that there is some wind in the scene and it is producing some rugosity in the water. And if you have this rugosity in the water, you are going to have some signal back. So this is one of the things. It's going to be low, but it's going to be something. This is what we are going to expect now, at this point. Then, as soon as the plant emerges and they are large enough in comparison to the wavelength that we are using with our radar, the most important part is going to be due to this reflection that we are going to have in the water and then in the plants, or in the plants and then in the water. These possible two ways of having this, what is called the double bounce interaction between the plants and the water. And the good thing of this double bounce interaction, it is very well identified in a radar signal, because we are going to have one component that is going to be higher than the other, and they are going to be with a different phase. So we can identify this if we have this different phase. In comparison with what we have when we have only surface, and in this case the phase between them is almost zero. The other thing that is going to be important, especially at the end of this season, but we are going to see that it's very important, is that as waves propagate through this volume, through this vegetation volume, and we can see that, we can think about this. I mean, we are not going to have isolated plants. We are going to have around 300 plants per square meter. So it's going to be very, very dense. The waves are going to attenuate, of course. And one of the polarizations is going to be more attenuated than the other. The vertical is going to be more attenuated because the plants are mostly vertical. That's why it's going to be more attenuated. So this is more or less what we are going to see. Then if we move to the next phase, to the reproductive phase, what we are expecting is that we are going to have more elements in the top part of the plants. So we are going to have more response from this top part. And this top part is not going to be so well oriented. So we are going not to have this clear discrimination between the two polarizations. And it's going to be evolving during this reproductive phase and also reaching the maturation phase. And at the end of the maturation phase, if you go to the fields, the plants are very dry and not as wet as they used to be. This is why they are painted here mostly yellowish. And they are mostly random. They are like a random volume of elements, of leaves, of everything, leaves, stems, branches, everything is like a random network. So this is what we are going to try to see with the radar. In this case, we are expecting the typical response from random volume in this last stage, which means that we are not to have any sensitivity to the polarization of the wave, because it doesn't matter the polarization. So this is what we expect, and this is the data we have. We have made acquired with the TerraSat-X satellite some time series during 2008 and 2009. I'm going here to concentrate on these two time series. One is TerraSat-X again with an incidence angle of 30 degrees. And we have the full series. As you can see here, we have images from the very beginning to the very end of the season. Here you can see in gray in the first part is the sowing dates, and in the last part, the gray interval, is the harvest. So we are going to have one image every 11 days over our fields. And we have some images too that I'm going to show you, provided by RadarSat-2, which is this other satellite. The difference between them is that with RadarSat-2 we have a different band and we have full pole data, but the problem they have, as I'm going to comment afterwards, that we don't have images in this last part of the season. So let's go to the results. This is, one of the first things that one can do with these images when you have different channels. In our case, we have the channels are the two polarizations that we are measuring, is to try to plot all of them in an RGB composite and to see if we have some colors in the images. And if you have some colors, it means that every channel is doing a thing different from the others. So this is the beginning of the season. We have this black color because all the fields are flooded and we are not receiving any signal. Then we start to receive this very important double bounce with the station. So we have this pink color in all the fields. And then it starts to go to other colors at the end of the season. So from the qualitative point of view, we can see that we have information and that this information is changing with time. So if we move from the colors to the numbers, we can use, for instance, the power of one of these channels, of one of these polarizations. In this case, for instance, this is a bit advanced. Here you can see the date. So let's wait to the start. September, then October, and now we are going to start here with the beginning of the season. We have low backscattering power because we have only the water there, and then we have an increase in the signal. This is why it goes high, and then it starts to decrease, and at the end we have some oscillations in the level of the signal. So we have some information, but it is not enough, for instance, to distinguish the rise from the other parts of the image. So let's go now to more information, and it is provided by the ratio between the HH that we have been seeing before and the VV. And in this case, we can see that this is very clear where are the rise fields and where are the rest of the scene, even the river that we can see there, and the rest of things, the city that's also in the middle, and the rest of crops that we have in other places. They are not well characterized by this ratio, but the rise, it is saying, this ratio, it is saying where is the rice fields. And it has been used before at other bands, and very successfully, to map where is the rice and where is not the rice. If you catch an image at the center of the phenological stage, where the plants are up, you can see that you have a very high ratio, so it's saying that you have rice. So more things, because we are not interested only to know if there is or not, but to know the phenological stage. Let's go to the phase difference. Again, we have to wait. I don't know what is starting in the middle of the series. Let's wait to the beginning of the season. It's going to start. It's October. The next one is going to be at the beginning of the season. We don't have a phase difference between HH and BB. And then as soon as plants emerge, we have suddenly a very high difference in the phase between HH and BB, and then this phase mostly goes down, goes to a more random value, so at the end it is not as useful. So we can see that with this phase it is possible to distinguish the time or the moment that the plants emerge from the water. So if we move from these plots pictures to the values, to the plots, we can see, for instance, these are the powers, and the top is HH, and below is the BB, the power that we are obtaining in these two channels. And we are plotting here these values for the five parcels, the five fields that we have measured, that we have monitored. One is one with a different color. We can see that there are more or less a trend in all of them. They are more or less going up and down and so on, but there are many differences between them. It is easier to go to the ratio. But here anyway, we can also try to put, what I'm plotting here, I forgot, sorry. This scale here, this axis is the BBCH scale. It's the phenological scale between 0 and 100. So we are looking here at the values that we have at every parcel, depending on the moment that we are looking, on the moment or the condition that we are looking. So if we want to see also the three main phenological phases are this one. This is the vegetative phase, the reproductive phase, and the maturation. As I said before, we have seen that there are some trends which are similar in all the parcels, but there are also important differences between them. Let's try this ratio between HH and BB, and let's take a look at it, because maybe it is more useful, and it is what we have here. We have seen before that in the middle of the season we have a very high ratio between HH and BB, and it's what we have here. We have at the middle of the season this very high value. We have before that we have low values before the plants are out, and then we can see that at the second half of the cycle we are going down. So this is also a nice trend. So one of the things that we want to do afterwards is to retrieve from the data in which phenological scale we are. Let's see. If we have one value here, we want to know in which stage we are. For instance, if we have here one value of 4, we should go to the curve and try to know in which vegetative phase we are. In this case, we can see that there is an ambiguity, because for instance, if we go to 4, you can see that you can be in 20, which is here, or you can be in 70. So it is not, it has not done the full work that we want. So we can distinguish also that in the vegetative phase there are like three stages. In this first part, in this first half, we can distinguish before the plants emerge, then the plants emerge, and then this mature part when the plants are out, when the plants are on the top. So what we are going to do is to add new classifications, new divisions. So we are going to use these five divisions. One is this blue is before the plants are out. This is the transition when the plants are going up. This is the rest of the vegetative phase, then the reproductive, and then the maturation. And you can see that we have this ambiguity between the second phase, this light blue, and the two last ones. So let's go to other parameters, for instance, to the phase, or in this case, instead of the phase, the magnitude of the correlation between the HH and the BB. In this case, we can see that we have, at the beginning, when we have the water, it is very high. Then it goes to intermediate values, and then it goes to low values. So we can see that more or less we are starting to distinguish between one part and other of the phenological cycle of plants. With respect to the phase, as we saw before, at the beginning we have these low values, and then we have a sudden jump to high values, or to low values in this case, to very low values in with the sign, and then we move again to zero as soon, I mean, as the plants are evolving through the phenological cycle. So this is one of the many information that we can use for that. So one of the things that can be done if we have this phase is that at the end we have this matrix, as I mentioned before, this 2x2 matrix in this case. We have a dual pole signal, a dual pole system with HH and BB, and we have the power HHH of HH, the power of BB, and the correlation between them. So we have a 2x2 matrix. And one of the important things is that we can use some algebraic manipulations of this matrix, for instance, to know which are the main eigenvalues, the main eigenvectors, and to characterize this scattering by using these eigenvalues and eigenvectors. And in this case, we can obtain some parameters that are saying to you how is the scattering that is going on in this scene. One of them is called entropy, and in this case, what it means is that if entropy is low, it's around 0.6, 0.5. If it is low, it means that we have a very dominant scattering mechanism, very dominant signal coming from one type of scattering mechanism. And if it is high, is that there are more than one. It's what we can distinguish with this entropy here. So it's what we have here, and we can see that at the beginning of the season, it is low, because we only have surface. Then we have high entropy, because when we have the surface and we have the very early plants that we have there. Then we move to low entropies again, because we have only this double bounce with distinction. And then we approach more or less, we approach to the end of the season these high values again, because at the end we have a random volume of plants, and with this random volume there is no single scattering mechanism dominating the response. We can measure whatever. So this is what we can see with entropy. So it's also very useful for distinguishing between different phenological stages. Other parameter which is also very useful to interpret what we have here is alpha. Alpha is an angle that is obtained with this decomposition, and it means something like the dominant scattering mechanism, the type of scattering that we have been looking before that is dominating our response. So in this case, what we have is alpha. When it's close to zero, it means that this type surface. If it is close, if it has very high values, it means a double bounce. If it is around 45, like in this case, it means that we have a very linear polarized response. So it's what we are seeing here, it's what we are obtaining here. So we can interpret our data in terms of this entropy and this dominant scattering mechanism. So the question now, we have been interpreting this data in terms of the scattering types that we have there, and also with this extinction, and the question is if it is possible to retrieve the phenology from this data. I will answer this afterwards. First, I would like to show you also the results with RASA2. Just very quick results with this RASA2 data. We have only 5 images, not the full series, and they are acquired every 24 days. So we are going to have a worse time sampling of the phenological cycle. For instance, again, we can see colors, so we are measuring something similar. And with the numbers, we have this ratio. In this case, you can see here that we are only in the first half of the part, of the phenological cycle. This last number is 60, it's not 100. So we can see this increase in the ratio, as you can see before. For the other data, sorry. Now, this is the cross-pole signal between H and B. This is a new information that was not available with Therasalix data. And in this case, we can see that the volume scattering that is appearing in the scene is increasing with the plants, and then it's more or less maintained at the vegetative phase. Then this is the phase difference, and at this band we can see again this jump in the phase, so it's good news because we can use also this band for this measurement. And again, this is the dominant scattering mechanism, and it goes from zero to high values, and again it moves to 45. So it is quite quite consistent with respect to the previous measurement. Entropy, in this case, entropy is very low always, so it's also nice to see that because it means that the polarimetric information is well measured, and we can extract information of the scene from these low entropies. And here we can also obtain, among others, one important parameter for us, which is anisotropy. And the nice thing of this parameter is, as you can see, it is always decreasing in this vegetative phase. So maybe we can use directly this parameter here to try to measure from one parameter, which is the phenological scale, because at the end we have a linear trend from the beginning to the end of this of this phase. So this is with RASA 2. So I mean, this is more or less the summary of what I have told you before. So let's go to the application. Let's go to the retrieval. So what we have done is, by using all the parameters with the TRASA, with the TRASAX data, we have divided the full scale in five intervals, which are mostly the ones that we have been talking before, these five intervals. The early vegetative, when we only have water, the plant emergence, the advanced vegetative, and then the reproductive and the maturation. And what we have done is, by using only four of the parameters that I have shown, alpha, entropy, the coherence, and the phase, to find the regions where they lie as a function of time in this case. So once we have this map, we can map all the images. I mean, we can try to classify all the images and to define and to obtain what is the value, what is the phenological interval of each pixel that we have in our scene. And this is what we have done with these parcels. These are all of these four rectangles that we have here in every image corresponds to one parcel, one of the five parcels that we have used. And you can see 11 images at different time. This DOI means day of year, so it's DOI, I mean, it's the day between the 1st of January and the last day of the year. You can see that in the very first three, all the films are in the early vegetative phase, so it's as expected. Then in the fourth image, you can see here that there are parts of the fields have already plants out, and parts of the fields do not have these plants. Then we move to the fifth, and then the parts that were before out now are in the vegetative phase, and the other parts are now emerging. Then we move to the advanced vegetative, and then from here we can see that we are now moving to the reproduction stage and to the maturation phase. So we can see that by using this dual pole data, this TRASAX dual pole data, we can, at least with this very basic approach, to identify between these five phenological intervals and to say to the farmers, your parcel are in this condition, your parcel is in this condition or in this other condition. Of course, it is not perfect, and you can see here that there are some ambiguities. Again, here you can see that some of the parts here are mapped as if they were in the advanced vegetative in green, or even here you can see that some parts are in light blue, so they are wrong. It's not perfect, but it's quite basic, and it's our first approach, our first result. So we can say that, I mean, it's a very simple algorithm because we have chosen manually the thresholds and the classes that we are going to use. I mean, it is not optimized because, I mean, we wanted to use only a physical approach, so it's quite simple. And we can see, we have seen that there are some ambiguities between some of the parts in the phenological cycle. So this is the final result that we have obtained up to now, and this is one thing that we also observed in one of the images in the previous campaign, and was the detection of problems. We saw these images, and here we can see in pink it should be a rice field, and we can see that there is a stripe here, a fringe here with some heterogeneous bug scattering. So we phoned to the farmers, and they told us that they had some problems with the salinity of the plant, of the water, and it made that these areas had exhibited this phenological delay with respect to the other plants of the field. In fact, they sent us these photos of these areas that we had with different scattering, so it's possible to do that. And if we see this series of images, we can see that the other parcels had this trend, and this parcel in red were delayed. So it was, they said, it was just what we observed also with these red images. So let's go to the conclusions. We have seen that it is possible to measure this phenological stage at least between among five intervals, among five-way intervals, but with some physical meaning. There are some ambiguities though, but it works. So maybe these ambiguities could be solved if we have full pole data, but it's not available for this sensor. And there are other two limitations of this sensor. One is the low coverage, because TerraSarix provides you an image of only 15 kilometers wide. So if you want to measure or you want to monitor extensive fields like you can find in South Asia, where you can find 100 kilometers or 200 kilometers, is too narrow, so it's not well useful for that. And also we have found some problems with the noise level, because in this satellite, particularly in this satellite, it is quite high. So it's one of the questions that you have very low values of the signal, you can have different measurements due to this noise. Something that has to be fixed with other satellites. So what can we do now with this data? One of the things that we can add to this series is the information provided by the time. How can we do that? For instance, if we know that we are in the first or in the second half of the phenological cycle, it is much easier to identify in which part of this first or second half we are. And this information is usually available, because the farmers know when are they going to sow, to seed, to put the seeds in the field, so they can tell you, okay, it's more or less in these dates, so you can more or less discriminate between one part or the other. You can also use the time information, because if you have this time series of images from one image to the other, you know that the parcel, that the rice is not going to be back. I mean, it's not going to be to younger conditions, and it's not going to be very much, I mean, it's not going to jump to older conditions, to much older conditions. So you can restrict your search space, and you can even use or less parameters, or you can provide even a more precise retrieval at the end. Instead of five intervals, maybe 10, maybe 12, it depends on the application, if it's useful. And of course, you can use more elaborated signal models, like with Kalman filtering, by using all this information provided by the time series. So it's work to be done, and now is the moment to do this work, because it's the first moment that we have this time series of images provided by these satellites. It should be also interesting to try or to study the integration of multi-angular data. In this case, I have only shown data with one incidence angle, but we have other two. So they are complementary in time, because they are not acquired at the same date, but with gaps of 2 and 5 days. 5 days, sorry. And they also provide some complementary information, because they are looking from different angles, so they have different features in the signal. And finally, of course, we would like to, I mean, we are now in conversation with them to try to build an operational approach of this retrieval thing. We would like also to to test this with other farming practices, because in this case we know that the fields were always flooded because it is the farming practice that they have, but we know that in other places sometimes the ground is not flooded, so it's, you have to take it into account when you are going to interpret this, and also the plants are not arranged in the same way. In this case they were randomly distributed because they use a plane to throw all the seeds in the field, but it depends on the way it is planted that you can have one response or another. And of course, next step is to go to other crops, not to rice. As I mentioned before, rice is especially easy because you have always the flooded ground underneath, so it marks a lot what are you going to observe. So that's all. Thank you very much. So if you have any question, I'm open to...
Very interesting talk. Good to see you can map the extent of the drainage in the lower field and improve pilers from space. I'm particularly excited by the last part. So, anyone questions?
There's one. Yeah. I suppose it's a bit more of a follow on from the research you've done in terms of feedback to farmers and so on. I mean, it's a much later stage, but obviously the application can be used all across the world. Wondering in sort of best developed countries where this information is very vital to farmers. Have you looked at how you can provide the information, how quickly you can provide the information as well? Because you say the turnaround is quite quick in general, in only a few days in some circumstances. So can you sort of, are you able to process the data very quickly to give feedback for us through text or anything like that? Mm-hmm.
So it depends. For instance, with these images, if you are in a commercial approach that you have the full system working for this application, you can have one image delivered in more or less than 24 hours after it was acquired. In our case, it was a scientific approach, so it was 6 days since it was acquired. And then as soon as you have the image, you can apply the algorithm, it's very fast, so it's one of the things. So if you have this real-time application where you need this this very tight time interval to feedback, then it's what you are going to have. It's 1 day. And in this case, the revisit time was 11 days with the same mode, but as I mentioned, if you can combine different modes, different incidence angle, you can reduce it to 2 or 3. The problem again is that if you are using, with this satellite, particular satellite, you are using this to provide more frequent information, the problem is that you have a narrow coverage. So if in these countries, if you have very wide fields, you have to move to other satellites, you have to try to combine this to increase the coverage, but not the time. So it's always a compromise. Yes.
What would be the best crop to try first?
This one, rice.
Well, yeah, if you go from rice to crops, what do you imagine would be the first one? Would you not like potatoes?
We have some experience with corn and with wheat, and these are the next ones. Yes, corn is fine because it has some orientation, but it's not as pronounced as with rice. And the problem with wheat is that it's also oriented, but it is very dense, and you are going to find multiple scattering effects and all these things. So, people that have worked before with them have always this problem with the type of scattering that you have. If you don't have these orientation effects, the problem at the end is that you don't have really information in the polarimetric part. So you can go to the backscattering power and to say, okay, it is increasing, so you have more or less plants. But so this is the test. We are moving to that, and to corn and to wheat. maybe barley is other field that we are also interested, but let's wait. Yes.
Small one over there. Same question. Well, I'll ask one. I'm just wondering, is there any work in progress or lined up for looking at different angles?
No, so far what we have obtained is for the different angle we have obtained very similar results,
yeah.
But we have not tried to integrate them. Mm-hmm. And for the other I have two, and the other one was clearly different. But the problem is that we have less images, yeah. So with respect to the time, it's not as easy. But it is not easy because at the end you have a different number, so you have to integrate them. In the space of the final product that you want to provide. In this case, you have to integrate them providing the phenological scale and not the coherence or entropy and all these things. Yes.
Okay, here off.
Can you say something about the availability of this data? How much does it cost to get these big time series?
Yes, in this case, it was a scientific project that was approved before the launch of the satellite, so they granted me for 80 images, so it was for free. If you have other scientific project, you can always apply for this data, just justifying what are you going to do with this data, and the cost is 200 euros per image, so it's fine for most of the applications. It's not very expensive. And if what you end is with a commercial application and you are going to get money for what you are going to provide to the farmers or the institutions, in this case it is quite expensive. In this case it's 4,000 euros per image. But just in the case that it's a final application that is going to provide you some benefit, some commercial benefit.
All very shy, first time.
Yeah. For me, is the last time. So.
Yes, one's leaving us. Thanks very much. I think we'll
welcome
you off there. We shall retire to a nearby hostelry, I think.
Bannerman's.
You're opting for Bannerman, okay.
That's where we're going.
Yeah, other people are in.
I give you directions.
That might be best. Basically, out the back door, basically, we follow Gemma. So the bottom of Nidri Street, Cowgate. So the Cowgate before it gets too chaotic, so it's pleasant enough. Okay, thanks for coming. There should be some refreshments at the back as well, if we want to finish them off.
Okay,
thanks.
I know that.